ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगनरघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राब्धि पीयूषा सर्ववेदैक सत्वला सर्वसिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोकैक दृक्प्रद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रभो कलिध्वांतोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तिता। Reading from Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text 14. Viprasya vai sanyasto deva daradi rupinaha vignan kurvantya yamhyasman akramya samiyat param viprasya vai sanyasto देवादारादिरूपिणः विघ्नान् कुर्वन्त्ययं हि अस्मान् आक्रम्य समीयात् परम् विप्रस्य वै सन्न्यस्तो देवादारादिरूपिणः विघ्नान् कुर्वन्त्ययं हि अस्मान् आक्रम्य समीयात् परम्।
Thank you.
Viprasya of the saintly person. Why? Indeed. Sanyasataha, taking sannyas. Devah, the demigods. Dara adi rupinah, appearing in the form of his wife of or other women and attractive objects. Vignan, stumbling blocks. Kuruvanti, create. Ayam, the sannyasi. He, indeed. Asman, them, the demigods. Akramya, surpassing. Samyat, should go. Param, back home, back to Godhead. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This man taking sannyas is going to surpass us and go back home, back to Godhead. Thus thinking, the demigods create stumbling blocks on the path of the sannyasi by appearing before him in the shape of his former wife or other women and attractive objects. But the sannyasi should pay the demigods and their manifestations no heed. Purport. The demigods are empowered with universal administration and by their potency may appear as the former wife of a sannyasi or as other women, so that the sannyasi gives up his strict vows and becomes entangled in sense gratification. Lord Krishna here encourages all sannyasis by telling them, pay no attention to such illusory manifestations. Continue your duties and go back home, back to Godhead. So translation once again. This man taking sannyas is going to surpass us and go back home, back to Godhead. Thus thinking, the demigods create stumbling blocks on the path of the sannyasi by appearing before him in the shape of his former wife or other women and attractive objects. But the sannyasi should pay the demigods and their manifestations no heed. So Krishna is speaking and telling the pitfalls and the responsibilities of each ashrama. He is now coming to sannyasa ashram and he specifically speaks about in the physics we have classical problems. There's something called as classical problem in physics. So this sounds like an old plot of which has almost all the time worked in terms of the determination of someone in the renounced order becoming slackened. So I'm going to talk about today on the theme of obstacles. Obstacles, why they are placed, in what all ways obstacles can come, and how does a devotee tries to respond to it, and why do the demigods do it, and do the demigods also know what is the solution of someone who can actually overcome those obstacles. So why obstacles are placed in the life of a sadhaka? I remember 16 years back, Gaur Gopal Prabhu once gave a talk, and in that talk he mentioned about why do advanced devotees also seem to suffer and a neophyte also seems to suffer. So what is the difference between their suffering? So an advanced devotee, Krishna makes them undergo obstacles, undergo challenges and suffering because he wants to glorify them. Krishna wants to glorify those devotees. In case of a neophyte or a practicing sadhaka, Krishna wants to purify. The advanced devotee is glorified, neophyte devotee is purified. Through an advanced devotee, Krishna wants to show the world an example of how one should behave when obstacles come in life. And for a neophyte devotee, Krishna makes them exemplary by purifying them of all unwanted things through obstacles that come in their life. And an advanced devotee, Krishna increases their prema by putting them through obstacles. But for a neophyte, he reduces their kama or desires, which are obstacles on the path of devotional service. like I was mentioning this earlier sometimes that the difference between neem and sandalwood, both of them appear similar, right? Neem and sandalwood. If somebody is not an expert, both the woods might appear similar. Both are wood, both can be burned. But the difference between neem and sandal can be understood only when you rub them against a stone. So a devotee and a, you know, somebody who has, devotee just doesn't mean an institutional devotee. Devotee means one who imbibes the values of Krishna consciousness. So somebody who has the values of Krishna consciousness very strongly intact, for them, when they are rubbed against the hard situations of this material world, the fragrance of their bhakti spreads around. Right? So when obstacles come, that's what distinguishes between a devotee and somebody who is normally living out his karma. And obstacles act differently for different people. For an advanced devotee, obstacles are like rain on a mountain. Rain on a mountain just makes them more clean, green and fresh. Nothing is added or removed from the mountain when the rains hit the mountain, but they become clean, green and fresh. And they stand in their pristine glory. For a practicing sadhaka, obstacles appear like rain on a newly constructed wall. And generally when you put cement, you need curing to be done. You have to put water on it so that the cement gets set. So similarly for a neophyte devotee, it acts like water on a newly constructed wall. It just makes them stronger and helps them get fixed up, tightened with the bond of affection between devotees or whatever. The obstacles actually brings them together and makes them stay together cohesively. Different bricks staying together because of the cement and you put water on it. And for someone who has not truly imbibed the values of Krishna consciousness, for them rains appear like obstacles appear like rain on a mud house. They perish, dissolved. Even the existence is not visible, right? They just disappear because of the difficulties. And Lord showed by his own example of how to deal with such obstacles, specifically the one that is mentioned in this verse. And definitely I'm not going to go into the details of that specific obstacle, but in general I'm going to talk about. So when Nar Narayan and Rishi are performing their pastimes in Bhadrikashram, Indra becomes insecure, looking at these severe austerities Nar Narayan and Rishi is being performing. Indra Vishankya. Vishankya means somebody who gets disturbed because of an assumption. Shanka. Shanka is like doubt. Vishankya means extreme doubts, become anxiety ridden. So become fearful. Indra Vishankya. About what? Mamadhama Jigarkshatiti. That these two, Nar Narayan, Mamadhama, they are actually eyeing upon my abode. They are actually eyeing upon my abode. Mamadhama Jigarkshatiti. So, not understanding the glorious position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what did he do? Kamam Nyayunkta. He engaged Cupid. Saganam with his associates. So Cupid comes with a full force. It has a lot of associates around because all the five senses have to be stimulated. You know, fragrance and touch and everything else has to be stimulated. Kamam Niyunta Saganam. Where did they send him? Sabadari Upakhyam. He actually sent him to Bhadrikashram. Go to Bhadrikashram. Right. So it is not that Maya has to pull us into her domain. She can enter our domain. It is not that he has to call Narayan Rishi through some plot to a disco club or something like that. You go there. Not a problem. So attacks of Maya can happen anywhere. And he says, Gatva Apsarugana Basanta Sumandavatai. All the Apsaras were there. Gatva Apsaro. And the beautiful breezes had started flowing. It was not like a loo of May, June month, but very sweet breezes, very nice to feel and touch. All these created some stimulation. Istri Prekshana Ishubhir. So he's saying the arrows were shot. Bhagavatam is saying this. Arrows were shot. Istri Prekshana Ishubhi. The glances of beautiful women, they were acting like arrows. Even modern times they understand that. That's why they draw this heart with a arrow pierced along it and the blood also drops, right? Something like that. They say this is love, this is what it is. But that's actually very deep. People don't understand it, but it's very deep. That arrow is actually Stri Prekshana Ishubhi. Atan Mahigya. Indra dared do this with Narnaranishi because he did not understand the glorious position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see how insecure people become more insecure seeing others' stability. Indra is unstable because he just looks at Narnaranishi who are so stable. And both are totally unrelated. But that's the nature of insecurity. When you don't have deep substance in life to depend on, any small wave can actually affect us. Right? Any small success of anyone can actually affect us. But we have deep, you know, substance to actually rely on. We understand that we are making a significant contribution the way I'm supposed to make. I'll be wonderful. I'll be happy. So, this experience of self-worth is very crucial even in the life of a devotee. Otherwise, he becomes victim to envy. And sometimes he hears so much about he should not be envious of others, so he starts falling into the trap of self-envy. He starts becoming inimical to himself. He doesn't give value to what he is, what he stands for, and thinks totally worthless. And we see here disturbance can come anywhere. Even Badrika Ashram can become sensuously stimulating. Can you imagine? So there is no guarantee of that a place can protect us. So where we are and who we are, there are two different dimensions. Right? Just, yes, where we are definitely helps us remain pure and remains, you know, kind of protected. But that in itself is not going to save us. Who we are, where we are, geographically located, and who we are internally, these two are different dimensions. We have examples in the Bhagavatam of spiritual persons in material circumstances. And the one that came to my mind was this glorious lady, Mother Kunti. What a situation she was living in, Hastinapur. Imagine living in a house where you understand everybody is an enemy. And you have all the powers to actually rectify that situation. All that Mother Kunti had to do was send a messenger to Krishna and Balaram and tell them that I just want to be out of this situation and be in Dwarka with you. She did not fight that situation. She accepted that as Krishna's plan. And had full faith and trust that Krishna is going to protect me. Even though I have to undergo this trouble and difficulties. So Maharani Kunti maintained a divine state of spiritual consciousness even though she was in such a material circumstance. You know? See, sensuality is one way you can probably deal with. But envious nature, it's very difficult to deal with because it's on a subtler level. Especially if you can't stand it. If you are surrounded by people who are envious, backbiting and arrogant, it's very difficult. Sensuous person from one point of time you can probably handle. But envious nature, it becomes really eerie, especially for a person who doesn't like it. I don't understand the dangers of it. And a material person in spiritual circumstances. Classic example of the sons of Kuvera. Right? They are in Rudrasya Anucharo Bhutva Suratto Dhanatadmado. Kailash Upavane Ramye Mandakini Madotkato. So they were in Mandakini Ganga in Kailash, where there is such a spiritual atmosphere, but they used all that facility for enhancing their sense gratification. So our facilities are like a rope. Either we can hang ourselves or we can climb mountains. That is our free will. And Krishna is not going to interfere with that. Right? So they utilized the facility that they had just for their self-aggrandizement and did not utilize it for becoming deeper. So in this way, Lord saw the fallacy of what Indra was trying to do and he was able to control himself. But still, Lord did not become proud of his ability to control himself. That is actually higher renunciation. One level of renunciation was that he was not disturbed by sense objects. But a deeper level of sense renunciation was he was not even becoming proud of that ability to do it. Right? Vigyaya Shakra Kratam. Understanding was Shakra. Shakra is basically Indra. Akramam Adi Devaha. Praha prahasya gatavismaya ejamana. He just smiled. Praha prahasya. He just smiled. Kya kar rahe bache? Gatavismaya, free of pride. There was no pride in his heart. Ma bhair vibho madana maruta deva vadvo granita nobalima shunyam imam kurudvaham. And he further gave assurance to these demigods. Don't become fearful. नो प्रॉब्लम, गलती हुआ तुमसे नो प्रॉब्लम, ये लो गिफ्ट लेके जाओ यहां से. सो नॉट ओनली ही डिड नॉट बिकम प्राउड बट इवन मेड यू नो दिस डेमिगॉड्स वेरी वेरी कंफर्टेबल. सो वेन वन इज प्राइडलेस वन कैन एक्चुअली सी थ्रू द इल्यूजन्स ऑफ टेम्पटेशंस. Arrogance blinds us because arrogance along with it brings this conception that I am an enjoyer, and in such a situation when temptations come forth you can't help it but succumb to it. So when they were prideless they could actually just see, oh this is a temptation, this is an illusion, this is not where I want to be, right? So they just continued with what they were doing. So then the demigods became very ashamed and then they begins to pray and they're saying, त्वं सेवताम सुरकृता बहवंतराय. सुरकृता, सुरकृता मीन्स क्रिएटेड बाय डेमिगॉड्स, बहवो मीन्स मेनी, अंतराय मीन्स ऑब्स्टिकल्स. सो सुरकृता बहवो अंतराय मीन्स डेमिगॉड्स क्रिएट सो मेनी टाइप्स ऑफ ऑब्स्टिकल्स. डेमिगॉड देमसेल्व्स आर सेइंग, कन्फेशन इज गोइंग ऑन दैट वी क्रिएट दीज ऑब्स्टिकल्स. सुरकृता फॉर होम, फॉर एवरीवन. सो नो, त्वं सेवताम, those who worship you my dear lord, we create obstacles only for those people. Perks and benefits of worshiping Krishna, tvam sevatam, people who are worshiping you we create obstacles for them. Why? Because they are trying to, very interesting, they are very open and they are saying sauko vilangya paramam vrajatam padam te, because they are trying to over, you know, go beyond us, like take a detour and go back to your abode. So therefore we get really angry at them and we want to put obstacles in their life. Interesting revelation. And he says, nanyasya barishi balim dadda subhagan dhatte padam tamavita yadi vigna murdhani. But as far as other people who are performing sacrificial performances and all those things and giving the share to the demigods, we don't disturb them. But people who are trying to go back to Godhead, we want to put obstacles in their life. But they are saying, how does a devotee deals with it? He is saying, dhatte padam, he is able to step over the head, vigna murdhani, murdhani means the head of an obstacle. He doesn't even go below the obstacle, he goes above the obstacle and transcends it. How? Tvam avanita, because of your grace. You protect your devotees. What can we do? We are simply, you know, insignificant in front of your protection. So the so-called impediments become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that such obstacles actually increases the determination of a devotee. And Jiva Goswami makes a very interesting point and he says that all these obstacles which come in the life of a devotee sent by the demigods, they become like steps of a ladder which eventually takes a devotee back to Godhead. Very interesting. Jiva Goswami says these are like steps to the ladder, which steadily helps a devotee go back to Godhead. So obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. So because the devotee is totally focused on Krishna, he sees obstacles as opportunities and not dead ends. And demigods then reveal what is the means of getting over various disturbances in life. And he's saying the only way one can actually do it is when they take shelter of you, my dear Lord. Any other thing that they try to do, eventually they fall down because of succumbing to anger, succumbing to their own weaknesses. Because even if somebody do material penances, unless one is a devotee, he is not purified at heart. Therefore, he can succumb to weaknesses at any point of time. So in this way, Prabhupada in the fourth canto, and Prithu Maharaj being instructed by the four Kumaras, that famous verse comes, Yat Pada Pankaj Vilasha Palasha Bhaktiya. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, and he gives this analogy of how rivers run towards the ocean. But sometimes the ocean high tide comes and it overpowers the river also. So similarly, he says, a devotee, how do you deal with material desires? They all are all there. We are like honeycombed with material desire. How do you deal with it? So he's saying, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. Very interesting this. Because this is the only thing the jiva can actually do, which is to desire. So, the way to deal with material desires and materialistic tendencies, we have to keep ourselves busy in actively and thoughtfully serving Krishna. Not just mechanically also. Actively and thoughtfully serving Krishna. Keeping our emotions into the act of seva that we are trying to do. And that's what helps deal with material desires. Because otherwise, if we just stop and keep thinking about our material desires, the situation is pretty overwhelming. And we don't even know what all is stored within the heart. At that time, then many beautiful women started appearing from Narnara and Rishi, and they overwhelmed the demigods. And then Narnara and Rishi smiled at them and said, "You can take the best that you like, one of them, and take them to heaven. And make her the Swarga Bhushanam. Make her an ornament of heaven." And that is the time Urvashi ji went to heaven, and they kept her in front. All the demigods walked behind, came to Indra, told Indra what has happened. Indra was remorseful but also very happy to get Urvashi. This is interesting. This is a very kind of, I was just thinking, how does it relate to us? Actually, it's not what outside that creates so much of danger, but it's what inside of us which makes situations dangerous, or which makes situations vulnerable to one's distraction from spiritual life. And when this inner desire, these ladies were appearing from Narayana Rishi, when the inner desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna is formidable and beautiful, then it will obscure all petty material desires which attack us. That's the way we can actually deal with them. Let desires fight the desires. If we have spiritual desires to serve and please Krishna, they can actually confront the material desire. So that desire to serve Krishna is like a vine of multi flowers. Beautiful vine which grows from a tiny root. It grows up, beautiful fragrant flowers, and that overcomes the stench of material desires and aspirations in the heart of a sadhaka. In Gita, Krishna is saying, "Yo anta sukho anta aramas tatha antarjyoti devaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto adigachati." So Krishna is saying, you have to find this happiness within. You have to be active within. You have to rejoice within. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done within life of a sadhaka. And Krishna is saying, whose aim is inwards, that person attains the supreme ultimately. Right? So devotees are praying for this kind of aspiration. Naham vande tava charanayor dvandam advandam heto kumbhi pakam gurumapi harinarakam napanetum ramya rama mrudu tanulata nandane napirantum bhave bhave hridaye bhavane bhavayeyam bhavantam. Maharaj Kulshekar is praying in Mukund Mala Stotra. My dear Lord, naham vande tava charanayor dvandam advandam heto. I am not praying at your lotus feet so that I get free from the distractions and the dualities of this material existence. Kumbhi pakam gurumapi narakam napanetum. I am not even praying that you don't send me to hell. Right? Ramya rama mrudu tanulata nandane napiranto. I am not even praying for the association of beautiful ladies who are as tender as creepers in heaven. Mrudu tanulata. I am not praying for all this. All I want is bhave bhave hrde bhavane bhavayeyam bhavantam. Let your remembrance be the treasure of my heart. And what does that mean, technically speaking? Actually, if you boil it down to very, what does that mean? We actually remember Krishna. Jiva is active. So when we say he is remembering, he is absorbed in Krishna, means at one level he is absorbed in his various kinds of desires to serve Krishna, to expand his fame, to expand his glories. So when one has these spiritual desires, and just last year Gaurangpur was giving a Sunday Bhagavatam class, or it was a festival class, and he said, the only possession of a jiva is this desire, and the greatest loss that a jiva can experience is the loss of this desire to serve and please Krishna. Because if once this desire is lost, because of offenses, because of neglect, because of stupid mistakes, it's very difficult to reignite that fire once again. But as long as this fire of desire to serve Krishna, do something for Krishna. So we are not so big, we are actually very small. What can we really do for Krishna? But like ocean is full, and a small 100 ml charnamrit glass is also full. Both of them experience fullness. We don't have to become an ocean. I have to just experience fullness in the state that I am in. I just have to try my 100% to serve Krishna, and that is sufficient for me to go back to God and to please Him. And therefore, someone who understands that doesn't have to compare himself with an ocean. Right? Because if a glass tries to become an ocean, he will lose his existence. He won't even survive. He won't even perish. He won't even, you know, exist. But if he focuses on the function that it can do, you cannot go and drink water directly from the ocean, but a small 100 ml cup, it can give you the treasure of Krishna's lotus feet in the form of Charanamrita. So everyone has his function to play and role to play. And if we just focus on that function, we can actually become useful for Krishna Seva. Right? But if you constantly keep comparing, in one sense, actually we are trying to find fault with Krishna's arrangement. Krishna, you made some fault by making me like this. Right? So that's kind of little eerie for a sincere devotee. So various kinds of obstacles come in the life of a sadhaka, and I just thought of three. The obstacle which come either through or because of sensuality, morality or spirituality. So obstacles which come through sensuality is very common, and we have all, you know, seen that and heard it so many times. And the classic example is of Vishwamitra tempted by Menaka, then later on Rambha. All respects to him. That is, he's just showing by his example of. And once Gaurgopal Prabhu was giving another class, and I think it was Ram Navami, long time back. And he spoke about how Ramayana, the first Kand is called Balkand, but there's no childhood pastimes of Lord Ram in it. Why is it called Balkand? It is called Balkand because of Vishwamitra's transformation. Because Vishwamitra became like childlike and dependent on Krishna now, dependent on Lord Ram and took shelter of Ram. Till that time he was trying to figure things out on his own, but this time he just surrendered. He could have killed Tataka and everybody else. He was a Kshatriya previously. He had all these weapons. It was he who gave all the weapons to Ram. But he wanted to teach a better principle that you may have skills, you may have abilities, but the use of the perfect intelligence to actually take shelter of the Lord, to take shelter of Ram. Other example in Bhagavatam, we have the case of Ajamil, who fell down because of unforeseen reason. Just accidentally he happened to come across and look at this lady and gentleman engaged in all kind of sensual activities. Drishtva tam kam liptena bahuna prarambitam jagam harshayavasham sahasaiva vimohita. Sahasaiva vimohita. Sahasaiva means there was no past history to it. It just happened suddenly. Sahasaiva vimohita. He just got bewildered at that moment. And the mistake that he did was he kept thinking of that experience. That was the, somehow this one mistake Ajamil did was he just kept thinking of that experience that he had of seeing. And therefore he was totally disturbed. And this caused a delay of few years in his life. Right? Ultimately it was probably happened when he was 25, and then he is like 88 years old. And then after that he lives 12 more years in Haridwar, and then eventually goes back to Garden. So there was a significant amount of delay, and Ajamil is saying in his remorse, when he's repenting, he's saying, Ahome paramam kashtam abhud avijita atmanah yen viplavitam brahma vrishalayam jayat atmana. I had became a servant of my senses, avijita atmanah, and I became degraded. And as a degradation from a duly qualified brahmana, yen viplavitam brahma. Viplava means actually it's like a revolution, but you actually fall down. Viplavitam brahma mrishalayam jayatatmana. I actually became engaged with this prostitute. So this is an example of how one can overcome, one can actually get troubled by sensuality. And this causes delay, at least for few years. Few years delay was created. Then we have the example of somebody encountering obstacle because of his morality. And classic example, Bharat Maharaj. Right? He, because of his compassion to the deer, he got into a difficult circumstance. And Bharat Maharaj, while in the body of a deer, he is one day lamenting, Aho kashtam! What misfortune! Brishto aham! I have fallen. From where? Not from kingdom, not from opulences. That was not he was lamenting. He is saying, Atmavatam anupathad. I was on the patha. Anupatha means I was traversing a path of what? Atmavatam, the path of self-realization. I fell from that path. Right? That is my misfortune.
and just see what all I had done to get on this path. Yad vimukta sangasya, I had given up my sons, wife and home to advance in a spiritual life. Yad vimukta sangasya, I had actually given all of that up. And what did I do? Vivikta, solitary. Punya, auspicious aranya, forest. Vivikta punya aranya, sharanasya atmavata. I took sharan of a very purified place. A deep forest. I went. Right? I was not sitting in South Bombay, in the monastery. I went to a deep forest. No network also. Right? Vivikta punya aranya sharanasya. And I did not space out there. What did I do? He's reflecting. Atmavat, I became self-controlled and self-realized. And what did I do? Atmani sarvesham atmanam bhagavati vasudeva tad anushravana manana sankirtana aradhana anusmarana. I did not declare myself to be God. I did not declare myself to be a big guru. I did not declare myself to have a big following. I did not told all the sages that I am a big king who is so renounced. No, I didn't do all of that stuff. I humbly remembered Krishna, served him, performed archana, performed sankirtan, remembered him in devotion. And it was not that my mind was disturbed. I was successful. In my attempt to remember Krishna, I was successful. He's saying, Abhi yogena ashunya sakalyamena kalena samaveshitam samahitam karsnena manas. So sorry, sir, this is a process in the fifth canto. But if you actually dissect every single word, it is superb way the way Shukdev Goswami is actually. And sometimes when you are sad, you may not be able to speak poetry. So actually Shukdev Goswami is kind of sad here. Dekh yaar, itna achha spiritual advancement ho gaya, then he's kind of... So it's like, suddenly he changes from poetry to prose. This is my speculation, but I'm saying... But Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur said, Shukdev Goswami is actually sad, he's speaking about Bharat Maharaj's situation. But he was also happy. Hey, but he went back to Godhead. So I'll have to tell you this story. I'm not just telling you the saddest kind of feeling that gir gaya, patan ho gaya, chala gaya. No. How Krishna protected him, that is glorious to hear. So don't miss these big phrases also, they are very depth in it. And he is saying, however, due to my personal foolishness, he is using the words, Tattu punar mama abuddhasyaran. Abuddhasya means, meri buddhi kharab ho gayi thi. Take full responsibility of what he went through. Full responsibility of what he went through. He did not find faults with the deer. Isko idhar hi pani peena tha. Itni badi nadi kahin aur jaake pani pee leti. Nahi. He did not like became envious of all the deer community. Maar do inhe. No. He just take full responsibility what he went through. Tattu punar mama abudasyaran mrigasutam. I just became attached to the baby deer. And just see. Anu parisusrava. I have fallen from the path of devotional service. And I have become a deer. And he's lamenting like that. And this fall down, this obstacle, literally created a delay of two lifetimes. One as a deer, and then as Jad Bharat. And Shukdev Goswami is rebuttaling this concept that did Bharat Maharaj fell because of some anartha? Was it prarabdha that he fell? And he said, no. If it would have been prarabdha, then after getting attached to the deer, he would have actually returned back to his kingdom. But that did not happen. He actually continued to stay there in spite of being attached to the deer. Then eventually took another birth as a deer and remembered everything that he had done as King Bharat. That means it was not prarabdha. Actually, it was Krishna's will. It was actually Krishna's will. So going back to Godhead is actually, that equation is not fully in our hands. Maybe left hand side is in your hand. Right? Anudhyan, Smaran, Sankirtan, everything. But the result of all that activity, Krishna will decide. He decides when he wants to take you, when he doesn't want to take you. He wants to make you a deer, a hog, a dog, who knows what. To teach example, what, you know, next Bhagavatam we want to have, not deer but a dog. So. Who knows, we become attached to a dog. So, but a devotee has his hope is in the process of devotional service and Krishna's nature as Bhakta Vatsal. He's not afraid. He's not. He's careful, but he's not afraid.
He is patient that he will eventually go back, but he is also hopeful of Krishna's mercy. And then his spirituality creating an obstacle in which they did not recognize Krishna's grace was the Brahmanas in Vrindavan. Krishna Balaram personally are sending people on their behalf to go and beg charity. And these Brahmanas, because of their puffed up position as a Brahman, they thought, this is a Vedic sacrifice going on, we cannot disturb. They could not even recognize that the purpose of the Vedic sacrifice was actually pleasing Krishna. And they are condemning themselves that, what is the use? Dig janmanas trivad yatta dig vratam dig bahugyatam dig kulam dig kriyadakshyam vimukha yeti adhokshaje. Are, what is the use of my birth? What is the use of my charity? What is the use of my sacrificial performance if my intelligence is not favorable towards Krishna? And look at these ladies, they have not performed all of those things, but they have attained the perfection of their lives. They appreciated people who were spiritually advanced. They did not even become envious of the queens, although they themselves were not able to do what they did. So we see that various kinds of obstacles actually come in the life of devotees. Several other examples can be quoted. And Rishabhdev kind of summarizes the cause of why does sometimes a sincere practitioner slips or succumbs to such kind of faults. He says, Yadana pashyati ayatha guneham swarthe pramatta sahasa vipashyat. He's saying, Yadana pashyati, if someone does not see ayatha guneham, the faultiness of sense gratification, don't just give it up. Understand the faultiness of this sense gratification. If it does not understand that this sense gratification is actually not a good pursuit for a jiva, what happens to him? Swarthe pramattah. He becomes mad and then he forgets his self-interest. Sahasa vipashchit. And suddenly he finds himself in a situation of sensual indulgence. Sahasa vipashchit. Gata smritir vindati tatra tapan asadya maithunya magaramagya. And in this way he forgets gata smriti. He forgets what is good for him, what is bad for him. And he's saying, he finds himself maithunyam agaramagya. He finds himself in a situation where he is overwhelmed by sensual desires. Suddenly. Why? Because in the beginning of his journey, he probably did not understand why he should not indulge in sense gratification. And as we grow in his spiritual life, the nature of obstacles will also change. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj writes one of his books. He said, when you came to Krishna consciousness, your level of Krishna consciousness was this and Maya was testing you at this level. But as time progresses, Maya's level of test also go on increasing. So if you remain at the same level of Krishna consciousness, you won't survive. You have to constantly endeavor to increase the level of your Krishna consciousness so that you can keep meeting the attacks of illusory energy. And how do we do that? Punya Shramana Kirtana. By increasing the spiritual piety by hearing and chanting Krishna's holy names, Krishna's holy pastimes, Krishna's holy glories. And we have a classic example in the Bhagavatam of the Kashyapa and Diti. In the third canto, Kashyapa and Diti, Diti is approaching Kashyapa with a desire to have union at an inappropriate time. And Kashyapa, with all his good intelligence, is reasoning, but he finally succumbs. I won't go into the details, but then Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. And ultimately, he lamented, repented. And several years later, now this was a desire, this is like the mind approaching a sadhaka with a sensuous desire. He said, engage in sensual indulgence, engage in sense gratification. And the sadhaka might succumb because of his weakness. And after a few years, probably a couple of centuries or what, when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu died, Diti is very pained. And she now approaches Kashyapa, I want a son. And this time she serves him very nicely. And then when he is pleased, he says, what do you want? He said, I want a son who can kill Indra. Vicious desire. Earlier it was just sensual desires. Now it was Vaishnava Prad. She wanted to actually disseminate a Vaishnava. Kill his existence. So as time will proceed, we might have transcended sensual desires, or may not, is still struggling. But the way Maya will attack us is through more insidious desires of, and the epitome of which is Vaishnava Parad. But this is also interesting to see how Kashyapa responded this time.
Kashyapa did not immediately succumb. He thought about it and he gave Diti a process by which she could be purified. And the result of that process was where Maruts were born, the 49 brothers of Indra. Right? So Kashyapa actually then probably was more spiritually evolved, or he understood the nature of his wife or whatever it was, but by his experience and by his spiritual prowess, he dealt with this temptation and obstacle much better. So in the initial years of Krishna consciousness, we may have been tempted by some sensual desires and all those things, and we may have succumbed to non-sinful sensual desires and we get up and walk. But as time progresses, each step has to be more careful, because the consequences are colossal. The tests are colossal. Somebody fails in nursery exam, right? You know, I was in nursery standard, and the first term exam, I remember, I did not go to give exam. So my report card was all red in color. So I asked my father, "Ye kya hai? Sabka blue hai, mera lal kyun?" And my father said, "Beta, this is for over exceptional kids. They put in different color. That's why you are like that, lal rang." And then I was very happy. Okay, fine. I did very well. Of course, after that, I never missed an exam. But you could not do that during post-graduation. The effect is going to be colossal. If you fail in a nursery exam, your teachers may still allow you. But if you mess up with your post-graduation, you won't. You have to pay the price. The price has to be more humongous, because you are expected to be more responsible. So as we proceed in spiritual life, the nature of tests are going to become subtler, stronger and deeper. And the challenge is, a sadhaka has to keep fighting with these temptations, these obstacles, as time proceeds, much more alone than previously. Because they start going on a subtler level, they're going on the chitta level, and the fight is very, very intense on that level. So a sadhaka actually has to become very, very active internally on a conscious level, on the level of chitta, being absorbed in Krishna. Otherwise, it's the external results of that war will duly manifest. So we need to increase our Krishna consciousness continuously. So the last thing I want to just share today is, what is the safe state of consciousness in which we can actually deal with obstacles in life? All of us face obstacles. Many times we fail, many times we win over. And we see from Shastra, by the glorious example of this advanced Vaishnavas, nothing to judge them, but as part of Krishna's desire, they are showing. First level is acceptance, that it's because of my desires and past activities that I am facing this obstacle. No one else is responsible. It's me. And Brahmaji exemplified that. Tatte anukampam susumikshamano bhunjan evatma kritam vipakam. Atma kritam. It is because of my past activities and actions that I am in this situation now. No one else can be held responsible for my situation. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj would say, if you remember these two things, you will never be disturbed in life. What is that? He said, Krishna never makes mistakes, and there are no accidents in this world. So where you are, what you are, what you are experiencing is what it is meant to be, as per the result of our own desires and activities in the past. And this acceptance makes us humble and determined to actually fight them. And when we are humble and determined, we get empowered with Krishna's remembrance. Sukta Asina, that is the sword which is required to fight these obstacles, which helps us overcome. So in the pastime of Ajamil, Prabhupada actually writes beautiful purports when he's lamenting and he's expressing his great remorse and he's taking a determined vow. Prabhupada says, Ajamil is saying, I am such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life and senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness of material life. Prabhupada says, every one of us should have this determination. We have been elevated to an exalted position by the mercy of Krishna and Guru. And if we remember that this is a great opportunity, and pray to Krishna that we will not fall again, our lives will be successful. It's very beautiful. And further he says, this should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious person. A Krishna conscious person should free himself from the clutches of Maya, and he should also be compassionate to all other sufferings in those clutches. The activities of this movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. One who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced as one who feels compassion for others, and who therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. Such an advanced devotee will never fall down, for Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance of this movement. Everyone is like a play toy in the hands of the illusory energy and is acting as she moves him. One should come to Krishna consciousness to release oneself and also to release others. And when you try and help others, Krishna gets interested in your struggles. And the way we find Krishna in life is by helping others find Krishna in their lives. So Radha Govind Maharaj was once saying that how this personal determination helps a sadhaka perform intense bhajan. How does this determination translates? In his bhajan, in his seva, in his attempts to remember Krishna, this determination actually manifests. And because Vaishnav Sangha is always present, Bhagavatam is always present, but we cannot take advantage of all of them unless we have this quality of determination. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, unless that Vyavasayatmika buddhi is there, all these paraphernalia will be there, but we won't be able to take advantage of it. So the first way we can actually deal with the obstacles is acceptance. That acceptance will make us determined and humble, right? And in that determination we can actually start taking the process of devotional service sincerely. But even then, the ultimate lid on the vessel is, which will actually ensure that we would never succumb to any kind of illusory temptations, is humility. Only when one is on the level of humility can one be properly protected from all kind of distractions from within or without. And we have this classic example of Haridas Thakur. And you all know that story. We don't have time to tell the story, but Haridas Thakur was attacked by sin personified. The prostitute attacked him. But he just humbly took shelter of Krishna. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was once speaking. And he said, Haridas Thakur was not saved just because he was wearing kanti and tilak. He was saved because he was desperately crying out Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he was not in any illusion that he was going to deliver the prostitute. He was just taking shelter of Krishna, and he had complete faith in Krishna's potency to transform. Actually, when a devotee is faithful and has intense faith in Krishna's potency, Krishna's prowess, then Krishna becomes pleased to manifest that prowess through the devotee. Right? Because he has no doubts that Krishna is powerful, then Krishna becomes happy. Okay, fine. You have that faith, I'll manifest myself through you and prove to the world what you believe. That's what happens in a spiritual life. Krishna proves through us what we believe. So if you have complete faith, Krishna is completely powerful. He can make, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj once said that Krishna can make the whole world Krishna conscious even through an insect if he is humble. All Krishna is expecting is this state of consciousness of humility. His skills, he can easily award. And he's not obstructed by someone's skill set, this, that. They may be helpful. But ultimately, it is the state of consciousness Krishna is looking at. And once Varamuru once said that in Krishna consciousness, an humble fool will achieve more than an arrogant expert. So more important is this humility, which will actually protect us. Krishna gets drawn towards a devotee who has these qualities. And when he takes upon himself to protect somebody, no one can budge him. No one can actually disturb him. And this humility is also not a special prerogative of somebody in the renounced order. We see Ambarish Maharaj. Now Ambarish Maharaj also exhibited this quality of humility to a very great extent. Haridas Thakur was attacked by sin personified. Ambarish Maharaj was apparently tested by Durvasa, who was the upholder of Vedic principles, self-righteousness, morality. more difficult test. But Ambarish Maharaj did not even budge an inch and did not even pray. Ambarish Maharaj did not pray to Krishna that please save me from this fiery demon. He just stood there. So for a devotee who is actually absorbed in Krishna, he doesn't even have to ask Krishna for protection. He runs to protect him. Ambarish did not say, "Kaay mera Sudarshan Chakra leke aao." No. He just stood there with folded hands. Sudarshan appeared. Ambarish did not even wink. Idhar maro isko. He ran. He took Durvasa by the task. Right? So that is the highest level of self-protection, is Krishna gets interested in your life. And that happens when we are humble. We actually, humility creates a vacuum space in the consciousness where Krishna's grace gets attracted. Like gravity pulls it. Right? We cannot pull Krishna's grace artificially, but this is humility which actually does it. And in both these cases, the individuals were successful because of their humility. So when a sadhaka is determined to be humble, he can successfully cross over all obstacles in Krishna consciousness, not become proud, but each obstacle helps him grow deeper, and that depth helps him grow higher in his remembrance of Krishna, in his contribution, his service to Krishna, and his own Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rashmad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. So please forgive me if I spoke something which was beyond my... Of course I spoke many things which is beyond my level of realization, but seek blessings of all of you, that they find some value. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.